This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
We seek your kingdom first. We hunger and we thirst. To waste our lives, you're our joy and prize. To see the captives' hearts released, the hurt, the sick, the poor at peace. We lay down our lives for heaven's call. We are your church. We are. Your kingdom's power, near and near and far. No force of hell can stop your beauty changing heart. You made us for much more than this. Awake the kingdom seed in us. Fill us with strength and love of Christ. We are your church, we break the home on earth. Build your kingdom here, let the darkness flee. Show your mighty hand, heal our streets and land. Set your church on fire. Win this nation back, change the atmosphere, build your kingdom here. We pray, we pray, we pray, we pray. Christ is my reward in all of my devotion. Now there's nothing in this world that could ever satisfy. Through every trial, my soul will sing, no turning back. I've been set free. Christ is enough for me. Christ is enough for me. Everything I need is in you. Everything I need. Christ, my all in all, joy in my salvation. In this hope will never fail, heaven is my home. Through every storm, my soul will sing, Jesus is here. To God be the glory. Christ is enough for me. Christ is enough for me. Everything I need is in you. Everything I need. We worship you. Decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, world behind me, no turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back. No turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back. No turning back. Your grace is enough, all that I need. At your word I will believe. I wait for you, draw near again. Let your spirit make me new, and I will fall at your feet. I will fall at your feet, and I will worship you. Your presence in me, Jesus, light the way. By the power of your word, I am restored, I am redeemed by your Spirit. I am free, and I will fall at your feet. I will fall at your feet, and I will worship you.
Spirit, we fall at your feet for what you've done for us. Thank you that we can be reminded again of it this afternoon, and that this sermon can also be a reminder again of your plans for us, Father, your will in our lives, your will with this earth, and how you put each and everything in place for us. Jesus, who died at the cross for our sins, that we can have a relationship with you. The Holy Spirit to help us to do the things what we've got to do. Then, Father, we only want to thank you. Thank you for your plan. Thank you for your will, and that we can be part of it. And Father, I pray, Lord, that our minds are going to be focused on what you want to share with us this afternoon, through your Holy Spirit, It was what we've been singing in the beginning, that the gates will be opened, that the kingdom will be built, not physically around us, but spiritually, Father, inside in our hearts and in the hearts of the people around us, that your kingdom can be built and that we can be part of it. And Father, I pray, Lord, that anything that wants to disturb and wants to distract us this afternoon, that we can cancel it, that we can bind it in the name of Jesus Christ, that it's not going to steal from us, it's not going to distract us. We are open to receive from you, and we thank you for that, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Today it's about my will and not my will, God's will. It has been written with a capital, so hopefully you will understand it and that it is God's will. And that God has got a will. He's got a plan. He's got a plan for us. And yes, we've got our own wills as well. We quickly will say of a small child who's naughty and who doesn't want to listen to the parents, he's got his own will. But there's one thing what is arranging our lives on this earth, and that's God's will. If we really are prepared to listen what he's sharing with us and what he's saying to us. Jesus also came down, not for his own will. He was Son of Man and he was Son of God. But he came to do the will of who sent him. John 6:38. For I've come down from heaven, not to do my own will. This is Jesus speaking. Not to do his own will, but the will of him who sent me. And the Father has sent him. We know John 3:16, which says, "From the Father has sent him, and whoever believes in him." The Father has sent Jesus Christ to earth with a specific purpose, with a specific plan, all part of his will, the will that God has got for this earth. In Hebrews 10, verses 9, is repeating it again. Then he, who is Jesus Christ, said, "Behold, I've come to do your will, O God." He takes away the first that may establish the second. He has come to do God's will. He didn't come for his own will. Jesus Christ didn't come with his own plan, but he came to do the will of the one who sent him, the Father. And the will is a word, yeah, there's more in it than just a will. The will is also a testament of what is it, what your will is, what is going to happen with the money, what you leave behind, if you've got anything what you can leave behind. But there's more in it. It is also that what is going to please God? What is it what God actually is looking for? Then we will find words like pleasure, desire, inclination, choice, determination. We will find it all built in that word of will. So it's not just a matter of this is my will. It's really out of the heart of God. This is his will. This is what he wants to, what should happen. And then the will of God has got, let's call it three different ways. We can also call it three different senses. The first is that the will of God is another way of saying the law of God. The will of God, the law of God. David is using it in Psalm 40, verses 8, where he says, "I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart." Paul is also writing about it in Romans, exactly the same, that he is equally the law and the will, that he makes it the same. And God's law is the way that we have to live. It is an instruction. God is telling us through the law, this is how I want you, that you should live as my children. The second one is the will of God is also what God desires. What is it exactly what he wants us that we should do? Because the perfect will of God is what God ideally wants us that we should be doing. It is God's will or desire that everyone should be saved. And this is something what we've got to keep in mind, that as we look around and we look to the world, this each and every one person what we're seeing, each and every person, God wants that person to be saved. 1 Timothy 2 verses 3 and 4 is actually saying it beautiful. "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. Jesus Christ is the truth. That they come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, that they will understand that Jesus is the Savior. That each and every one is going to get an opportunity to hear the gospel, to hear where it is all about. And the third one is that the will of God refers to what God will allow to happen. Because there are things in happening in this world which is not God's will, but he's allowing it that it is going to happen. It could even be contrary. It could be not in agreement or even opposite God's will, but still God will allow it that it is happening. And it does not help if we only define the will of God, but we must also have a look, what are we going to do with it? How are we going to respond to it? How are we going to respond to that will of God? What are we doing with it in our lives? And that comes in stages. So you're basically working in it. You're growing in it. How you react to the will of God. And the first stage is that we should learn what God's perfect will is. And that we've got to learn out of the Bible. Ephesians 5 verses 17 says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Understand what God's guidelines are in the Bible. Understand what he actually wants us to do. So we've got to spend time over there. And then it says, see that you not walk circumspectly, that you're not walking and that you're not, how should I say, that you are diligently walking, that you're perfectly walking, that you're walking with diligently, that you are making sure that you're doing the thing what has got to be done. It's not just passing by, but that you're really focused on what God wants us to do. We've got to study God's word, because nothing what God has planned will contradict what God has already written in his word. So we will never get something which is a contradiction concerning that. So the first is that we've got to learn, and we've got to carefully learn what God is trying to tell us through his word. Then we've got to set our hearts and minds to follow God's will and a purpose in our lives. And Paul is praying that the Christians will be filled with the knowledge of God's will in Colossians 1 verses 9 and 10, where he says, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." That you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. Paul is writing it to the Colossians over there, to the people. They had false teachers over there who were giving wrong information. So he's telling them there that you're going to be filled with the knowledge of his will, of God's will. What exactly is it? What God wants us that we should do? Because Christians, we are completely justified, but we're not fully sanctified. And this is part of that process where we are busy with. The third thing is that Christians can call his followers to pray for God's will to be done. When we were singing the song just now as well, "Build Your Kingdom," it's also about certain of those phrases, praying what God wants us to do. And God's perfect will can be accomplished in our lives and in the families and in the world. But we cannot expect God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, unless we are attempting to do the will in our own life. So we've got to put deeds to the words. If we're going to pray and we say, "Father, let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven," and we're just going to sit and watch over there, then nothing is going to happen. We've got to do something as well. What has got to be done with it? Those of you who sometimes maybe attend intercession on a Tuesday, they are quite aware of it, that Rene will say to you, "Now you can pray it in." And this is exactly what's happening over here as well. That we must pray it in. We must pray it in what God's will is. That we speak it into Utrecht. If the Lord is stirring you and you've got to pray for the lost in Utrecht, then pray. Pray it in. Pray that the lost could be saved and that they can be added to God's kingdom. The verse what I would like to read over there is Matthew 26, 42. Again, a second time, he went. That's Jesus then in the Garden of Gethsemane. He went away and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done." Jesus is praying, but he's still obeying the will of God. He's still doing what God is telling him to do. Fourth thing is that we should not use God's will as an excuse for a lack of interest or for God or for not taking our responsibility seriously in fighting the battle against sin. And also that we should not live with an attitude that things are simply the way God intends and there's nothing what we can do about it. God has got a will and he wants us that we should do things. We should be spreading the message by the power of the Holy Spirit, and we also should stand on our ground if there is the forces of evil, if they are trying to steal in a spiritual realm. And this is something where the enemy doesn't like. The enemy, first of all, if there's an unbeliever, he wants that the gospel shouldn't get to that person, because then there's a possibility that the person is going to get saved. If the gospel gets to the person and the person is getting saved, then he's trying to put that person in a passive mode that he's not really doing what God wants him to do, so that he can be a Christian, but that he is not actually carrying fruit. And there we always have got to be very careful for, because we can be a Christian. We can say, yes, I believe in Jesus Christ. But if we believe, it also means that we've got to do something. Also that we've got to obey the commands. And we will hear about it a little bit later. When we hear God's will, we must probably ask ourselves the question, do I have to respond on it on my own? Do I have to do it on my own? Is this the type of job description what God is giving to me and says, okay, this is what you've got to do now. Do you have to do it on your own? And the answer what I would like to give is a yes and a no. The yes is we've got to do it. God is not going to do it on our behalf. But the thing what God is doing, he is helping us. And he's helping us with two things. He's helping us with a perfect example in Jesus Christ, and he's helping us with the Holy Spirit, the other helper. And the first one I would like to talk about is Jesus Christ is the perfect example for us to do God's will. John 14, verses 12 to 14. Most assuredly, I say to you, this is Jesus speaking to the disciples, that's already after Judas left the room, and it's basically his last talk with his disciples. He who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. This is Jesus speaking. He who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. What does that mean? It means that we can do exactly the same things as what Jesus has been doing. We can bring the gospel. We can do miracles. We can do healing. We can send out demons. We can do that. Jesus has been saying that. He who believes in me. And again, believing doesn't mean only to say, yes, I believe in God. But it also means that we're going to obey what he's asking us to do. And then the works that I do, he will also do. And greater works than these he will do. Because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in his Son. And if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. The last sentence over there, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If we take the Greek words and we translate it directly into English, it actually says, if anything you ask me in the name of me, I will do it. So which means that we also can go to Jesus and pray to Jesus. This is what this scripture is saying over here. It's not always that we're praying to the Father in the name of Jesus Christ, but it's also that we can pray to Jesus Christ in the name of Jesus Christ. And he says over there, if anything you ask me in the name of me, I will do it. And if we're praying and if we're asking in Jesus' name, when we're praying, we're basically reflecting God's character. We're reflecting Jesus' character because we are in line with what the desire is, what Jesus wants us to do. We're also demonstrating that we've got faith in Jesus and in his authority, and that we reveal a sincere desire to honor both the Father and the Son. Because that's for me always beautiful. If a person is praying, when you're praying, you're acknowledging the Father. I had a privilege of evangelizing Thursday evening, and we were five people, so there were two groups of two and one on his own. That was me. So I went on my own, and I was praying, and God has given me a picture of a certain lady beforehand, and I looked around and I couldn't find this lady, and I didn't know, and I was already walking around for 10 minutes and I thought, what's got to happen now? And then at a certain time, with my legs, with the speed what I got, I passed a guy and I started speaking to him, and he took his ears out and he started speaking to me, and he couldn't speak Dutch. He was from Turkey. He was only a week over here in Utrecht, and he's working in the IT business. And then I started speaking with him, and I asked him, I said, do you believe in God? Do you believe in Jesus? Do you know who Jesus is? And he said, Jesus is the Son of God. And then he explained to me that in his first year of study, he spoke with another colleague, and they discussed about the religion, what they were following at that time, which was the Islam. And he said he came to that stage that he couldn't carry on along with it anymore. He couldn't carry anything further with it. So he stopped with it. He stopped with the Islam. But then he said, I'm nothing at the moment. And then I asked him, I said, do you believe in God the Creator? And he said, yes, I believe in God the Creator. So I thought, right, here's a door. It's not a single door. It's actually a double door which is open. So I could speak to him and I could tell him, I could quickly tell him what is actually in the Bible. I could tell him about the heaven as well and all those type of things. And then we came to around, I think it was around 8 o'clock, knowing that I had to go back home. I had to be home before 9, not because my wife says so, but Mr. Rutte says so. That's why I had to be home at 9 o'clock. So I said to him, I've got to come to an end now. But can I pray for you? Is there anything where I can pray for you? And he said he would like to be that the things where he's busy with at the moment, that it can work, that it can be successful. And I said, yes, I can pray for you. Then he looked at me and he said, but can I pray? I said, yes, you can pray. You said just now that you believed in God the Creator. He wants to be your Father. So yes, you can pray. I said, the same. I said, how's your relationship with your father? And he said, he's got a good relationship with his father. And I said, do you sometimes ask your father something? He said, yes. I said, do exactly the same. Do as if you're standing in front of your father, say, Father, and then you whatever you want to say, you say it to him. That's the first time this guy prayed. He didn't have an example. But what's so beautiful for me is by praying, by saying Father, he was recognizing that there's a Creator and that he wants to speak to him. He wants to speak because he knows that God the Father can do something for him. And this is what we're doing as well. If we are praying, we are confirming that God is there, and we are confirming that God can do something in a situation. Then we come to the Holy Spirit as a helper. We can try to do and copy what Jesus has been doing. But the furthest what we will get is only human effort. We're not going to get any success. And this is why God gave us the other helper. John 14, 15 to 17. It's basically the next few verses. If you love me, keep my commandments. This is what Jesus is saying to his disciples. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, if you recognize me, if you say you are Jesus, you are the truth, keep my commandments. Obey my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Abide, that he will be linked up with you, that he will be part of you forever. The Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth, because Jesus is also the truth. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Those people who are not recognizing Jesus, those people who are not recognizing God, those people who are not recognizing the Father, they cannot receive the Holy Spirit. Because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Because the world neither sees him or knows him. If we're taking a look at the world, at the word sees, is that the Jewish people have been seeing Jesus Christ. They saw him walking around in the temple. They heard him, but they didn't believe in him. They've seen him, but nothing changed. And it's always a beautiful picture that an unbeliever is spiritually is blind. But then his eyes are opened, and he's seeing a few things. He's seeing that Jesus died for his sins. His status, what he's got at the moment, he can bring it to Jesus. And he can also see that Jesus can do something with it, that Jesus can make that change because Jesus died for him at the cross. And then he also can see Christ. He can see that beauty of Christ, and he can see what Christ can do for him. And that Christ has got the ability and the willingness to save us all. And there are more places in the Word where we can read about what God's will and what Jesus has been doing to do the will of the Father. One which pops up always in my mind is the one where Jesus says, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." When he's speaking to the lady at the well, he's chatting with her. He's asking her to give water to him. His disciples went to buy some food because he was tired. And when they come to Jesus, and then they see, and they say, "But who has given food to you?" And then Jesus is replying, "My food." And if you go to the word food, it actually means meat. My meat is to do the will of him who sent me to finish his work. This is why he's been sent for. And yes, we heard that he prayed, "If necessary, if possible, let this cup pass, but I will do the will what you want me to do." I want to finish off with reading a part out of Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, where Paul had 11 chapters where he's been talking about all his words and so on. But then he comes and then he says in verse 1, "I beseech you," and beseech basically means pleading, I'm begging, I'm appealing, I'm desiring, "you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, that you are going to dedicate, that you're going to sacrifice yourself, your bodies," which means the whole of our bodies, the physical and the spiritual part, our whole body, that we're going to sacrifice it. "Your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy," which means that there's going to be no blemish, no defect, acceptable to God, "which is your reasonable service." And the word service actually means is also your ministry. It also means that it is your worship. This is what we're doing. We'd be giving our body, our total self, we give it to God, that it can be for his service, for his ministry. And then there's a warning. "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Do not be conformed to the world, which means on the outside that we try to look exactly the same as what the world is. There's a part of fashion in this world conformed. Now we all know what is fashion. It's continuously changing. For those people who are making it, that they can make money, it's continuously changing. And we always want to wear what is fashionable, always what is the fashion at the moment. If it's our shoes or trousers or shirts or jacket or whatever it is, because we want to go along with the fashions. Do not be the same fashion as what the world is. Do not conform to the world, but be transformed. And in a world transformed over there, it means metamorphe, so which means that there's a total change by renewing your mind. Now, renewing your mind, it is not that once we've been renewed, that we've been reborn, that we are reborn and then we are set aside and say, okay, it's done, wait till the coming back of Jesus. No, we're continuously busy with renewing. There's a renewing of our mind. So which means that on the outside, we shouldn't conform to the world, but there should be a change on the inside, renewing our mind, and that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. We are continuously busy with God's will, and God's will is that each and every one should be saved. We've read it just now. And God wants to use us for that. He has given Jesus as our example, and He has given the Holy Spirit as our helper. And this is what I feel what we as a church really have got to focus on, because this is when we are church. If we just get it together on a Sunday and we have some time together, now we haven't got any coffee or cake after or before the sermons as what we had before a year or two back. But then, yeah, that's not where it is about. It's about when we're doing God's will, when we're seeking God's will, when we're speaking to other people, when we are sharing who God is in our lives. And that if we are working at a certain place, if we're going to ask your colleagues, that all of them will know you're a Christian, that you're not ashamed of it, that you're prepared to share it. We don't have to do it on our own. We've got an example and we've got a helper. And this is where we can go to God and that we can ask, and that we can ask him that he's going to show us. Where does he want to use us? And that we can pray it in. And if God is saying to you, you've got to start building a relationship with your neighbor, then pray it in. Pray for your neighbor each and every time and look for that opportunity that you will get a gap, that you can speak to them, that you can share what God has been doing in your life, that the Holy Spirit can work through you and that you can make a difference in this world. Because we are here not to do our own will, but we are here for God's will. It's his will what we've got to follow, exactly the same as Jesus has been doing it. We're going to have communion just now, and a communion is a renewing again, a renewing of the covenant, what Jesus has got, of what Jesus has done at the cross, the covenant between us and God. That we can focus on that we can be reminded again. When I thought about it, I thought, oh, wait a moment, last month we didn't have any communion. But we would like to have communion each and every time. And I'm going to ask Melissa now that each and every one can get the symbol and that we can have communion together. If you are at home and at the moment you've got something, even if it's a piece of bread and some water, I see we've got big pieces over here today, but it's good. That if you've got some bread and if you've got some water or anything else, just use it and also together with us, have then a communion that we can be reminded again of what Jesus has been done, that we can renew that covenant again with God, that we can thank Jesus that he died for us at the cross. And it's so beautiful. The plans what God has got, his will, and it's so basic. It's not very complicated. You don't need a degree to understand it. It's just a matter of understand what God wants to say to you and do the things what he's telling you to do. With Jesus as an example and the Holy Spirit as our helper. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the symbols which you've given us, which is reminding us again that Jesus died for us at the cross, and that through Jesus we can have a living relationship with a living God. And thank you, Father, that you also reminding us again that you've got a will, that you would like all the people to get saved, but they can only get saved if they hear the gospel, that they can react on the gospel, and that you want to use us for that, Father. It's not that we've got to do all of them, but that we are going to do them, that we're going to speak to those whom you want us that we should speak to. Thank you for the symbols. Thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for your plan. Thank you for your will. And Father, as what we're taking now, the symbols, that those are going to remind us this is what Jesus has done for us at the cross. That his body was broken. That he died. But he conquered death. That he was resurrected. That he descended to heaven. And then that the Holy Spirit has been sent to us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you've done for us at the cross. Thank you for your blood. That your blood was poured out to wash our sins. That we can be as white as snow, which we can say today because we know what it looks like if it is white as snow. And we thank you for that, Father. We thank you for your plan, for your will, that you've sent your Son, and that your Son was obedient. That he said, I'm here to do the will of my Father. Thank you that we can be reminded and that we can be renewed again. Thank you that we can take the symbols now. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you for confirming again what Jesus has done for us at the cross. Thank you for us that we could just become quiet again. And as we are taking the symbols, and now at the moment, Father, I feel that there are certain people at their houses who are on their own, and they feel on their own. And Father, I pray, Lord, that they can come to you, and that they can have communion on their own. And that they can be reminded again of who you are and that you are with them. That they shouldn't feel alone. That you are with them and that you want to spend time with them. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I also want to pray for those who heard the will again of you this afternoon, Father. And who say, but I want to commit myself again. I know I was running on my own will. I was running on my own gears. But I want to move into that gear of the Holy Spirit. I want to that the Holy Spirit is moving me forward, not running on my own gears. And Father, I pray, Lord, that the person who's feeling that he has got to change, that there's got to be coming change, Father, that they're going to follow Jesus as an example and the Holy Spirit as the helper, Father, that they can raise their hands now, that they can say, yes, that's me. That's me. I've got to change. I've got to start looking what God wants me to do, what his will is, and that I'm not going to follow my own will, that I can allow the Holy Spirit to work through me, and that I can follow what Jesus has given us as an example, and that I can trust on that promise what he said. If you believe in me, then you can do exactly the same works what I've been doing, and that we can be excited about it, Father, of having that relationship with you and making a difference in a people whom we see on a daily basis. We thank you, Father, for today. We thank you for your will. We thank you for your time that you're showing it to us, that you take us aside and that you say, my son, my daughter, this is what my will is. This is what I want you to do. And that we can change, Father, that we can spend more time with you and that we can understand what your will is and that we can put it in practice. Thank you, Father, that you are our Father. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. And thank you for the help of the Holy Spirit. To you all the glory and to you all the honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
For such a timely and a wonderful message. We are going to take some few songs, but whilst Pastor was preaching, I perceived within my heart that there is someone either watching on live or maybe he's going to watch later, but I perceive that person is drifting apart from God, and I sense it so strongly within my spirit that God is calling you back. And these words started repeating to me. It said, "My grace is enough, more than you need." And so I don't know who that person is. I don't know what struggles anyone is going through. But this is the word of the Lord, that His grace is enough, more than you need, and it's time to come back home. So for this reason, we'll take the song we did again, "This Is Our God," and we'll sing that verse, "Your grace is enough for me." And all that the Lord is asking, that you humbly come under His feet and His strength will be made known.
God is glorified.
servant and king, rescue the world, this is our God. And I will fall at your feet, I will fall at your feet, and I will worship. And I will fall at your feet. I will fall at your feet. And I will worship you here. This is the air breathe. This is the air breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me, and I'm desperate for you. And I'm lost without you. This is the end. This is the air breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me. And now I'm desperate for you. I'm lost without you. And I'm desperate for you, oh Lord. And without you. Thanks for joining us for today, and we come to a close of today's service. Let's be blessed and let's do the will of the Father by preaching His word. Enjoy your week. Have a blessed one. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.